Hi everyone, and welcome to one more episode of the All Plane Podcast, where we talk with the movers and shakers that are redefining the future of commercial aviation. As usual, before we start, I would like to remind you that all previous episodes of this podcast, as well as many other aviation stories, are available on the All Plane website. That's allplane.tv, allplane.tv. And there's a newsletter as well that I invite everyone to subscribe to, where I curate the most interesting stories every week, aviation stories, mainly about innovation and sustainability. And now to today's episode. Well, let's start by saying that today we have not one, but two guests. Elizabeth McLean and Mike Evans are co-founders of Herwig Communications, a consultancy firm that provides advice to airlines, as the name implies, in the field of communications. Elizabeth and Mike founded Herwig after quite a few years of hands-on experience on the airline side of the business, working for very well-known carriers such as Fly Dubai, Emirates, and Flybe. And, well, why talk about communications? Because in the current context, in which airlines and the whole aviation community is being questioned on account of its environmental record, communicating in the field of sustainability has become more important than ever. There is a very real problem with emissions, of course, and communications cannot hide this fact, and it's not an easy problem to fix. No amount of communications can solve that. But still, I don't know if it's the case, but when I speak with people outside of the aviation industry, I often get surprised by how little awareness is there about the many initiatives, programs, and investments in the field of sustainability and aviation. Could it be that the industry is not communicating as well as it should? And what can airlines do when there is, let's say, a bit of an unavoidable time gap between the problem and the perception of this problem right now and the best case solutions and the implementation of those solutions, which in many cases are years or even decades away? So how can the industry avoid greenwashing, greenhushing? Well, these are some of the questions that we'll try to answer here today together with Elizabeth and Mike. And now, without further ado, let me welcome them to the podcast. Hi, Elizabeth, Mike, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, good to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Good to see you. We've been bumping onto each other at air shows, aviation events around the world. And it's great to see you here today and to talk about this very, very current topic, which is basically communications in the aviation sector. And I would like to focus particularly on sustainability and how airlines and the aviation sector in general is handling this kind of reputational crisis it's going through because of all the environmental concerns about emissions. And obviously, communications play a big role. But before we get into this, I would like to invite you to introduce yourselves and tell us a bit more about your background, your professional background, and the company you both manage, Herwig Communications, a communications consultancy firm that is very focused on aviation. You both have been working in the aviation sector also for a number of years. So tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Okay, I'm Mike Evans. I've been in aviation now for over 30 years. I'm embarrassed to say, it makes me sound very old. But I've been involved in startup carriers, legacy carriers, low-cost carriers through my career, based specifically in Europe and the Middle East. I think I've seen the best times in aviation and also some of the worst, but it's added to a few grey hairs, but I think I'm can comfortably say I'm a seasoned aviation communications practitioner these days.
Nice. Elizabeth, yeah, your turn.
Right, my turn. So I'm Elizabeth McLean, and I've spent 30 years in the communications sector. And for the last 10 years, I've worked in the aviation sector with Mike. We know that managing communications in the aviation sector presents many challenges. And we've managed communications for aircraft orders, for rapid expansion of route networks, introductions of new aircraft types, new products, and participated in many air shows. And as you said, Miguel, that we first met, I think, at the Dubai Air Show, which is always a highlight. And at the other end of the scale, we've also managed the grounding of a fleet, incidents and tragic accidents. and also contagious diseases even before COVID. So I think your podcast listeners will know that there's never a dull moment in the aviation sector. But since we've set up Herdwick, we've also worked in the wider transportation sector. And we know that the aviation industry does set a benchmark, which I think is quite interesting for others to recognize that.
A benchmark in what sense?
I think it sets a high standard as being highly regulated, a very operational sector. I think it's seen as a sort of gold standard, if you like, for other modes of transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the case. When you see how everything that happens in aviation, how strictly everything is monitored, and every single thing that happens in this sector gets a lot of attention. I mean, we are seeing now everything that's happening at Boeing, for example, with all these incidents. Everything can become a headline very easily in aviation. The same with any disruption.
I agree with that.
I was going to say, completely agree. I mean, I think it's a very interesting point. That's what makes the aviation sector quite unique. Unlike other sectors, the reputation of an airline or a company or an airport is judged by millions of passengers flying every single day, all with mobile phones, all with social media, and they're reporting in real time their experiences and how they perceive that the airline or business is doing. So everything burns very brightly in the aviation sector, and these are one of the reasons why we set up Herdwick.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, let's say this reputation and crisis management, would you say it's the main focus of Herdwick Communications?
Well, I think for us, we use the word crisis very carefully because we don't actually feel that that you're in a crisis unless you lose control. And it's something we both firmly agree with. So we believe that being prepared for what is going on is much better, and therefore behaving in such a way that you can actually communicate effectively to all of the stakeholders involved to make sure that you're managing the situation and remaining in control. So it is a big focus of our business. And Elizabeth and I, when we decided to set up Herdwick over 3 years ago, decided that we believed there was a niche within the aviation sector that very few people fully understand the operational nature of what happens. And unless you've lived it, unless you've been managing it firsthand, unless you felt the bumps in the road, you can't actually fully understand how complex the aviation sector is.
Mm-hmm. Because when you mentioned earlier that you've been working for a number of years in the aviation industry, we didn't get into the details, but I think you were both working for airlines, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Right. We are in-house in the communications teams.
Mm-hmm. Can these airlines be named? Oh, I mean, I know them, but...
Well, for me, one of them doesn't exist anymore, which I'm quite, in fact, two of them don't exist anymore. One of them was Flybe, and one of them was my first airline, was a company called AB Airlines. It used to be based out of Gatwick, one of the first wave of low-cost carriers in Europe, and sadly no longer with us, but they used to fly BAC-111s across the Irish Sea, again, showing my age.
It's one of the classics of British aviation, yeah? The BAC-111. Yeah.
Indeed, the smell and the noise.
Yeah. I think I've never flown it, actually.
To answer your question more recently, Mike and I worked at Fly Dubai. I think we're both well known for our roles there, so there's no harm in mentioning it.
Yeah, Fly Dubai, a very interesting airline. I've got a couple of flight reviews, actually, on my website. Very interesting business model. And very complementary to Emirates, which is the other Dubai-based airline that many people know about, but
which I've also worked for.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about crisis. Would you define what's happening now with the concern about emissions and the impact of air travel on the environment? Would you call that a crisis? How would you define what's happening with all this, let's say, negative state of opinion towards aviation in general?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that with a direct answer, and I'm going to say yes. So I think that if you don't manage your sustainability communications correctly, you can lead your organization into a crisis. I mean, we can't, there can be no doubt that climate change is here, and we all feel the urgency to act, and we're seeing the effects of climate change. And I, speaking for myself, can say that I've actually changed the way that I travel, and I'm sure that there are more and more people doing so. I think the particular challenge, we've touched on it, for the industry, IATA does set out through its flying net zero strategy a pathway to reach net zero. And there are many exciting initiatives that are going to change the way we travel. And I know you've covered some of those, Mikhail, in your newsletters. But we don't currently have all of the technological solutions as to how we as an industry are going to reach net zero. And I think that presents another challenge for us. I think we also feel at the moment that we're like, as you mentioned, some of the crises that we're facing in the industry, that these pass through the news cycle like a passing storm, replaced by the next issue. And some of us perhaps become slightly complacent to these issues. And I think that if our when we're advising our customers and employees, the range of our stakeholders, if we become numb to these crises, it can lead to complacency, and it could ensure this will quite possibly mean that our organizations are exposed. There are, have been some class action lawsuits, which again, you've also covered in your newsletters. That have been taken against airlines in 2022 and 2023. And the rulings also by the Advertising Standards Authority, most recently in 2023, but also going back to 2020, I think this shows that it is a crisis. So, as Mike mentioned earlier, you need to ensure that you keep sustainability firmly in the realm of issues management because you need to be maintaining control. And we can come on to talk about how you can do this.
Yeah, indeed. Because in this case, how you keep control when up to a point, the, let's say, quote unquote, solutions are not fully available. I mean, there are some mitigation strategies and actions that airlines can undertake, but those are not, they are very far from being perfect. The technologies are not fully there yet. There are things, of course, and people that follow this podcast know that there are quite a few projects going on right now to decarbonize aviation, but those are years or decades away in most cases. So how you can tackle this problem where the communications or image reputational problem protect your business when there are not really great solutions at hand at the moment?
I think it's I think you've hit the nail on the head, really, because if you look at the aviation sector at the moment, there is an expectation in the public's mind that decarbonisation is happening, and we're talking about it, and we're talking about plans for doing it. And if you're not doing it now, you've got to be very careful because you're going to be a little bit late. But there is a risk. If you're sat in an airline and saying, well, hold on, the technology doesn't exist. So it's going to be 10, 15 years before we can actually do things. We can make small changes, but realistically speaking, we need a fundamental change in distribution of SAFs, for example, to make them widely available and cost effective. The trick we're missing here is that as airlines and in the aviation sector, is that we need to be saying, right, we know that we're going to be late to decarbonize, but we need to measure what we're doing today, and we need to have a grip on that. We need to put the plans in place, which will take a good few years to put your measurement criteria in place and how you're going to report on your business. and get your own house in order whilst we're waiting for those technologies to come. And from a communications perspective, be very frank and honest and say to consumers, look, this is going to take time. Because if we don't do this now, by 2030, a number of industries will have moved down the road of decarbonisation. And whilst aviation is only 2% of CO2 today, as they start to decarbonize, will probably become a greater percentage in 10 years' time, which makes the problem look bigger.
So it's
So unless we start to manage those expectations now, we're saving up a crisis for the future.
about, would you say it's about, at the moment, it's more about managing expectations and letting people know what's the path ahead, what are the next, let's say, investments or actions that will be taken over a number of years, but without promising too much, because then could lead to disappointment, I guess.
Well, the thing is, you're right, you could lead to disappointment, but if you're honest and upfront about it, say exactly the situation that you're in, but you need to demonstrate that you've got measurement criteria in place that measures the entirety of your business, not just what the jets are doing. It needs to measure what your back operations are doing, your sales processes, the whole nine yards, because there's all carbon involved in all of those processes. Get your arms around those, communicate them effectively, and build a level of trust. People want guilt-free travel, and unless they can trust the airline, they're never going to be able to believe what they are being told.
And do you think that airlines in general are doing a good enough job at the moment in communicating their projects in this space, all the SAF initiatives, the investment in or partnerships with companies developing cleaner propulsion technologies? Because I'm talking with people that are not in the aviation circle, and we live in this, let's say, aviation world, and we are constantly reading and about all these projects and initiatives and all that. But then when I talk with people outside of the industry, I got the perception there's not so much awareness of everything that's going on. So I don't know up to which point the general public is aware of that, and whether airlines are doing currently a good job with this or not so good.
I was just going to say, I think it needs to go further. I think there is a lot that people can talk about, a lot of things that they're saying on the initiatives that they're implementing, but they should also be talking about what they're not doing.
About what they are not doing,
Indeed, I think you
in
have
what
to.
sense?
Because I think, as Mike was saying, you need to be talking about your sustainability initiatives within the entirety of your business or the organization that you represent. And if you don't put it into context, then that is where you then either risk greenwashing, or if you're not thinking about it, then effectively you're greenwashing.
Yeah, you mentioned greenwashing, and that's another point I would like to discuss, because on one hand, sometimes I got the impression that many airlines are not maybe doing enough in telling the general public about everything that's going on in this sector behind the scenes to decarbonize the aviation industry in a period of time that for many people it would be maybe too long, but actually considering the time frames of the aviation industry, it's maybe not that long. I mean, we're talking about hydrogen aircraft by the mid 2030s, which is, if you consider the technological challenge of that, it's a quite short period of time. But on the other hand, we have the opposite, like companies that maybe kind of went a bit too far in making these claims about what they are doing. And we had the case recently, I think it was KLM, but there have been also some advertising complaints about other airlines. I think Lufthansa also was the object of a lawsuit, and I might be forgetting some others, but I think Air France possibly. Well, anyway, there are a number of airlines that have been they have been losing court cases because of greenwashing and misleading advertising and all that. So where's the balance here, and how to walk this fine line between telling people all the amazing things that are coming up, but at the same time, just not misrepresenting the or over promising things.
Well, I think that's our role as a communications practitioner is to navigate that pathway between greenwashing and greenhushing. We would advocate that as a communications practitioner, you should have a seat at the decision-making table or C-suite if you prefer, for everyday communications, but that is as equally as important for sustainability as well. Because you need to have the insight that comes from fully understanding your organization's wider sustainability strategy, as we have been discussing. And I think that where those problems occur is when you communicate without establishing the context of the entire business. It's our role as communications practitioners to define those messaging, but when it's used in communications, you can map the progress that the organizations are making towards net zero, but you shouldn't be overestimating the positive measures that are being taken. And what you shouldn't be doing is over-promising and under-delivering.
You mentioned greenwashing and greenhushing. Can you define the difference between the two and give us some examples, practical examples, so that we can better understand the difference?
Yeah, a greenwashing is diffusion. It's look over here. It's to create a perception that you're doing the right thing, and but actually you're not putting in context of the entirety of your business. So a great example of this could be we're reducing our impact on the environment by introducing more fuel efficient jets. Perfect, right? That's true. But the real reason why you're buying those jets is for a number of reasons. It's passenger experience, it's payload, new routes, expansion, et cetera. The environmental element is one part of it. So if you're to communicate that, talk about the reason why you're buying those new aircraft in totality. Don't focus on the environmental elements only, because what it doesn't say is you may reduce your carbon emissions by X percent, but you're growing your flights by 20%. So your total impact is getting bigger. And the element in all of this is to try and balance those communications, just to be frank and honest and open. It's the same as every other communications that you deal with. Tell the truth and be very clear and don't mislead. And if you do that, you'll be fine. Another element that we're seeing at the moment when it comes to greenwashing is green fares. Now, you create a label, a false label, which is green. No fare today is green. Let's be completely honest. They may use SAF fuels, they may have X, Y, Z, doesn't matter. But to position it as a green fare is incorrect. And the environmental agencies and the advertising standards will jump on you because they know that it's true. So let people make informed choices by telling them, for example, the CO2, that would be emitted from any specific purchase. If you purchase this, it is lower because we will guarantee a purchase of SAF of X, Y, and Z. So just be simple and honest. Now, when it comes to green hushing, there'll be a number of people perhaps that listen to this podcast who are not saying anything about what they're doing for sustainability because they're feeling nervous. They don't know what to say. They feel if they say something that they'll feel exposed. So that is, I'm not saying anything because I don't want to make a mistake, and you're saying nothing. And there's always a voice to be had, and you should always communicate this. In fact, to your earlier point, when you talk about what the industry should be saying and are we doing enough, I would say that I've been to a number of conferences of late where we've had leaders in the industry talking. And one of the things I would say is there are a number of CEOs out there that do not feel comfortable talking about this or taking a position of leadership. And I think that is down to them feeling slightly uncomfortable. They don't have the data to back up what they're saying, and their communications people have not fully briefed them on the swim lanes that they can speak within. And I think as an industry, we've got to get better at that, and we need to show some leadership.
Would you say right now this should be the priority for any airline?
I do. I think because you need to take this whilst it's still fresh. Don't let the pressure groups actually push the airline into a position where they're having to create a position on the fly. This is why you need to start now. The aircraft door is shut, the plane is pushing back, you need to get going. I mean, a great example, I mean, you were at the IATA Sustainability Symposium
Yeah,
in
in
Madrid. I was
Madrid
there as well.
in I think in October 2023. Yeah.
I left that session. I thought it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to. And I left with a huge optimism in the industry. Now, it leveled expectations, but left me with that feeling of optimism. If we can get that to the public and let them see what is going on and the path to getting there and the challenges, we'd win.
But I guess in a conference like that one, the attendees and the speakers are already pre-selected. So you're gonna get people there, like the subset of the industry that is more motivated and more involved in this. But what happens if there's an airline that doesn't have that much to show for? Maybe not because they are against the environment or they don't want to do anything, but maybe let's say you are, I don't know, some random airline that has a decently sized business, but not too big. You're not like an industry leader or someone that is being looked at constantly. Maybe you are not the guy that is gonna, be out there signing deals with these new startups that promise to develop a new engine, or maybe you will have some mitigation of said program, but many might not even have that. So what do you do then if you don't have something of substance to just establish your credentials in this area?
In some respects, I think it's slightly easier. And the reason why I say that is because the spotlight may not be as highlighted on that specific airline. But when it comes down to the basic principles, and we've been working with some airlines, very small airlines that are just starting the journey, if you're honest and open about where you are, and as long as you're taking those steps, so the first step into it is what is my impact on the environment? So establish it, measure it, work out what the criteria is for measurement. Then you set targets and benchmark them with other peers within the industry. Then you define what your strategy is going to be and how you're going to reduce it over time. Then you start to implement that strategy and you go on that road. Now that journey could take you 10 years. But if you start communicating it, you can quite openly turn around to say, is that we're taking this seriously. We are committed to the path to net zero. These are the steps we are taking, and just keep communicating them. Nobody can opt out of this. They're going to have to get involved in it. But it's just communicate very simply and honestly the journey you're on.
But maybe
And
like some of these smaller airlines, they might say, well, I'm here, I just operating kind of low margins, just trying to make a living on a day-to-day basis. And then there are all these big guys that are the ones that are constantly on the spotlight, and those are the ones that are gonna, invest in these mega SAF projects and all that. And I'll just follow, So, do these airlines, do they need to get also up to speed with the, let's say, more public speech on this topic?
think the answer is yes, but you carry on with the with what you were going to say.
I was going to say you can surf on the coattails of the other airlines' investments and experience, but it still does not stop the requirement for you to measure your impact on the environment today. And today, it is optional. Tomorrow, governments will turn around and make you report. I think there was a McKinsey report that was put out that now 90% of companies are reporting sustainability reports as part of their annual reporting. Now, if that is the case, aviation is not going to be exempt from it. So it doesn't matter how big or how small you are. It just means to say that you need to start the journey. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just needs to be a commitment and a honest communication.
I understand. Sorry, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I was going to add to what Mike has said. I think these, if you take some time to read these court rulings, and also the ASA, the Advertising Standards Authority's judgments, they actually make reference to communicating honestly and concretely. In these findings following these recent lawsuits. And I think that really provides a very sound basis as to how you should manage your communications when it comes to talking about sustainability. And frankly, it's no different to how you should manage your communications anyway.
So I understand there is a model that any airline can follow to communicate this independently of the size of the airline or the position it has in the market. So just to wrap it up, what would be the way to go if you're an airline manager getting started with this? What would be the steps to follow?
Well, we've created a model which effectively can be broken down into three areas, but it allows you to identify tangible messages and strategic opportunities. The first step is that it allows you to establish where the business has sustainable differentiators. Secondly, where the business is on par with the industry. And thirdly, where risks exist. And by taking this approach, it will help your organization to find its voice when it comes to sustainable communications.
Sorry, what's a sustainable differentiator in this context?
How you perhaps different actions that you're taking within the airline or
okay.
be it an airport, creating different elements of based on your own business model.
So let's say, for example, if I have invested in a SAF project or just buying a new electric plane, stuff like that, that would be a differentiator. All right.
Yes.
Very good. Well, so it's clear that besides doing things, it's important to communicate them as well, because the future of the aviation industry is also dependent on how people perceive it and how people are able to tell whether there's progress or not in this field. And also the regulators, of course, because they're going to be responding to the, let's say, the state of opinion as well. It's going to be important when it comes to setting the regulatory framework in the years to come. Just to wrap it up, where can people learn more about Hairwick Communications? What's a website or other channels where you are active?
Well, your podcast listeners can connect with Mike and I on LinkedIn. Our website is hairwickcommunications.com.
There's one last thing I would like to ask you, and that's about the name of the company, because I think there's a very, I remember in Dubai, you were telling me this very interesting story behind the name. What does Hairwick mean?
Hairwick is actually a sheep. Which sounds bizarre for a communications agency. But when Elizabeth and I decided to set up the company, the hardest thing to decide was the name. We knew what we wanted to do. We knew why we wanted to do it. It was all very clear, but the name was quite challenging. And we were sat in a room after several cups of coffee debating things. And I said to Elizabeth, do you know what? When I grew up in the north of England on a hill farm, I said there was this amazing sheep. And she looked at me as if I'd gone slightly strange. And she said, really? So I said, yeah. I said, it's been there for generations. It's been there for nearly 1,000 years. It's shaped the landscape over decades. And it's a very harsh and cruel but beautiful landscape. And I said, the sheep has done that. And I said, it's a little bit like what we do. We change the communications landscape. We always find a path to getting the answers out. So I said, you know what? I said, we're very similar to the sheep. Hence Hairwick Communications.
I think with this note, we can finish the conversation here today. And well, thank you so much for your time and for giving us, all the listeners of the podcast, a professional perspective on what's going on in the, let's say, communication side of the aviation sustainability debate. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well.
If you like this podcast, you can support us by giving it a great rating on Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform you get it from. And remember, you can, of course, subscribe to it. And you can also get regular updates through the Allplane website. That's allplane.tv, we have a newsletter where we cover the aviation industry every week with a special focus on innovation and sustainability. So give it a go. Thank you and goodbye.